Whether you're looking for answers to specific life questions or seeking to become the best version of you possible, welcome to the Mental Breakdown and Psych Reg podcast, where we offer insight, information, and strategies based upon research and years of practice as clinical psychologists. So sit back, have a listen, and get connected with our hosts, Dr. Bernie Wilkinson and Dr. Richard Marshall. Welcome back to another episode. I am excited about the conversations we're going to have this week. We've got some really good feedback from listeners, and so we're going to be mindful. What?
This is where I say, finally.
That's right.
Finally, we're going to talk about this topic.
That's right. No, we're going to talk about millennials this week.
Right.
And we're gonna work hard this week to the talk we were going to do on millennials was going to be this long talk, and we were going to kind of cover a whole bunch of stuff. But we heard from listeners who talked to us about maybe chopping it up a little bit more, mm-hmm. so that they're in smaller
segments,
bites,
right.
and smaller
mm-hmm.
segments, so people
right.
can listen to it on their drive to and from schools and work
right.
and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So we're going to split it up a little bit because there's a number of things that we want to talk about with millennials, and we want to make sure that we cover everything.
But as I've talked to people about this, I've talked to some millennials, mm-hmm. some younger people, and they're very enthused about this. And so I want to encourage them to respond,
yeah.
especially if you're in that generation, because there are a lot of myths about millennials.
Right.
And so we would appreciate hearing from you guys. Let us know what you're thinking. And we'll get that message across.
That's right. And we touched on this a little bit when we were talking to Dr. Scott Furtwängler last week.
Right.
And so it seemed like a very natural segue right into this series on millennials.
Right. And for those of you who don't know, Dr. Scott Furtwängler is from Houston.
Yeah.
And his area of expertise is preparing students to do better in school,
right,
high school, and particularly college,
right.
So, we interviewed him last week, and this is one of the topics we talked about. And so, if you have a mind, check that out on YouTube.
Yeah, it's
iTunes.
On YouTube. It's on iTunes. It's anywhere
a
you
good
can find our podcast. Yeah,
with Dr. Furtwängler.
Mm-hmm. But today, we're going to talk about the sense of entitlement that many millennials have, and that we certainly attribute to many millennials.
And get accused of.
Right.
They get accused of having this sense of entitlement.
Right, right. And so we're going to talk a little bit about maybe where that comes from. Because we've been talking about this over the last week or so in preparation for this topic. And one of the things that we kept coming back to is the fact that babies aren't born entitled.
Right.
Or with a sense of entitlement.
Right.
So there are things that happen in one's life that sort of fosters the development of a sense of entitlement.
That's right. That was the first myth that got exploded as we've been investigating this whole topic. Because we are guilty. I know I am guilty. We attribute this sense of entitlement to the millennials.
Right.
But the millennials didn't ask for this, and that's a recurring theme
right.
in all of this. As you say, they weren't born entitled.
Right.
They don't come with an entitlement temperament.
Right.
But something happened to them that created a sense of entitlement. And so it's a case of blaming the victim.
Right.
Maybe they were victims
right.
of something, and now we're blaming the victims. And there's a little bit of resentment,
right.
and maybe the justified resentment
right.
about that.
Well, remember, it was your generation and my generation,
right.
the baby boomers and Generation X.
Are
we were
Gen
the
X?
Ones. I am.
You're Gen X. Okay.
I think so. I don't know. Yeah, I think so. We'll say yes. But we're the ones who invented the idea of participation trophies.
That's
we're
right.
the ones who came up with the idea that, you know, you get things for trying. You get awards for trying as opposed to getting awards for winning or coming in first place or, you
right.
know. And that shift started within the last 20 or 30 years. Now, I guess we should have said to begin with, millennials, we're talking about individuals who were born between the early 80s.
I think,
and
yeah,
the early 2000s.
And the early 2000s, right.
Somewhere between 80 and 85, depending on where you look.
Yeah, because now there's a Generation
Z.
X, Y, Z.
Yeah,
right?
We're in Generation Z.
Millennials would be Y.
Correct.
and then there's a Z coming up.
Correct. Right? And yeah, they're already kind of toying with different ideas.
Now, what do
gonna,
we do?
Yeah, we're gonna what are we gonna call these guys?
Double A's.
Double A's.
Like batteries.
Right? That's right. As long as they're not triple A's, because they're real small.
Little.
And we're gonna kind of get into a basketball. Right. It's gonna be terrible. Mm. But we're going to call this next generation something else, their generation Z. But with the generation Y, or the millennials, mm-hmm. again, born between somewhere between the early 80s and the early 2000s.
Right.
And I think that it's important for us to recognize that, again, much of what we see as it relates to their sense of entitlement was our doing, was their parents doing.
I can remember something that happened in it was either late 70s or early 80s, about the same time, mm-hmm. that there was a contest at a school, and every year they would give I think it was a Halloween thing, mm-hmm. Halloween parade, and they would give prizes to the funniest, to the most original, right. and all that. And this one year they came along and they said, well, let's not do that. Let's just, instead of singling out a few kids and mm-hmm. making other kids feel bad, let's applaud everybody who's right. participating. And that was sort of the beginning of right. this whole notion.
Right.
And that was late 70s, early 80s.
Right, mm-hmm. right. So when it comes to this idea of a sense of entitlement, I think that the first thing we have to look at is perhaps the responsibility falls on us as the ones who...
Who came up?
Came up with it.
Who came up with the idea?
Right.
Because the millennials didn't come up with the idea.
Yeah. Now, that in no way gets the millennials off the hook. Right. I mean, they do have many of them do have a sense of entitlement. Many of them do have, it's a learned sense. They've been trained to believe that.
Learned behavior.
Right.
Right.
But they do have a sense of entitlement, and we need to address that.
That's right. Now that we have it,
right.
now that they have it and we've created it, yeah, now we have to address that.
Mm-hmm. And interestingly, I was talking with a parent the other day, and the parent was saying that they were talking about that we're raising kids who... Are incapable of handling right. challenges, of handling these things, and they just want whatever they want, and they want right. everything they can get. And again, I think that a lot of that is because we have raised the children to believe that. We have raised them to feel that way. Right. And we're not giving them we're not making them work for things. We're not making them realize that, you know, to get the trophy, you have to That's win. Right. You have to that competitive edge.
Mm-hmm. You have to excel. You have to compete.
Right.
You have to win.
Right.
So yeah, there's that. If you get recognition just for participating, then the expectation, and that's what we've done,
right,
is we've created an expectation,
right,
and that's what they're bringing with them, is a, well, wait a minute, I did this, so I expect to be rewarded,
right. Yeah. Right?
And so in what the way that translates in school, and what drives high school teachers and college teachers crazy, is that this notion of participation, when it got to academic work, was, well, I did my work, mm-hmm. so I should get an A.
Right.
Okay. And that's an unrealistic expectation, right. that we have. That was one of those unintended consequences,
right.
of this whole thing.
Right.
It plays out in other areas of their lives. But let's be careful not to blame them.
Right.
Because we did that to them. They didn't come up that way. It wasn't in their breast milk.
Right. And you know, and we're still doing it. You know, there's a lot of policies that are coming out in education, mm-hmm. and in our communities that foster this, that keep this and maintain this sense. Because, you know, if a student hasn't been doing their work,
that's
their
one
grades
of our...
are poor, what do? We give them a recovery packet.
There's a grade recovery program.
Right.
For those of you who don't know this, there's our one of our favorites is this grade recovery program.
Right.
That if a student doesn't do any work during the semester and gets to the end and has a low grade, it then becomes the teacher's responsibility to give that student enough some work to make up to recover the grade.
Right. Yeah. Right. In many schools, teachers are not allowed. That would be fair.
Mm-hmm.
They're not allowed to give a student anything lower than a C, and preferably nothing lower than a B.
Right.
So it's we're perpetuating this sense of entitlement. And You know, it doesn't call for, and we're going to get into this later in the week. We're not saying that this calls for more punitive measures. We're saying that this calls for more discipline or more punishment or more strict guidelines from the perspective of punishment and restrictions and stuff like that. What we're saying is we need more responsibility. We need more accountability. And we'll be talking about some of those things later this week.
Excuse me. A frightening thing that I just heard this week.
Mm-hmm.
That the extension, when we think of if you just participate, mm-hmm. you get something, you get a reward. There is I don't know whether it's a policy or not, but teachers may not be able to hold kids accountable for even being in class.
Okay.
That you don't have to come to class. Okay. And you can still be considered enrolled and
present.
This is high school.
Wow.
And so kids are wandering around campuses now.
Mm-hmm.
They're going out to their cars for lunch and they're going here and going there because you can't really keep them in class. So when I heard that, I thought, so now you don't even have to participate.
Right.
You know, we've gone from a participation trophy to now you don't even have to participate to get recognized.
Wow.
And that it's a scary extension of this whole concept of a participation trophy.
Right.
So I have to find out more about that. I just heard that recently. I had heard, a teacher told me almost 2 years ago, that if a student chooses to sleep in class, she really can't do anything about it.
Mm-hmm.
If they decide not to do anything in class, she really can't do anything about that.
Right.
So we need, because that would be a logical extension. It would be an unfortunate extension of you just have to be there.
Right. And so, so when it comes to the sense of entitlement, yes, it is present. Yes, it is a real thing. No, it is not their fault. It is not something that they demanded or they expected. It is something that we have provided them and something that we continue to encourage, basically, with our behaviors. But again, it's not remedied by, you know, we just need to come down harder on these students.
No, no, no.
You know, if a student's sleeping in the class, we need to pull the desk out from under them and make them stand the whole time. Right. You know, that's not the answer. So we'll get to some answers as we're going through this week, but let's, you know, as we're starting out, let's keep that in mind that, you know, yes, it happens. It is there. But it's not ingrained. It's not in their biology to be that way. It's something that their environment's creating. So,
right. And we have to help them, get ready for, a world that isn't just going to reward your presence.
Absolutely.
That's our obligation, not punish them for what we've created, because we have created it. And when I say we, I don't mean individuals. I mean social policies, school rules have changed, you know. But we have created it, so let's not punish the victims.
Right.
Let's figure out what to do about it.
Yeah, absolutely. So, all right, well, that's it for today. We'll be back tomorrow with another topic or portion of this bigger topic of millennials. So, all right.
This excites me. I like this topic.
Finally.
Okay.
We'll see you then. All right. Bye-bye.